She had no fat on her body at all. Unable to eat, for it was too painful to do so, the weight simply fell off her frame and left her skeletal beneath her loose dresses. Catherine knew she had lost weight, but even she was shocked when she stepped on the doctor's scales. She weighed 71 pounds, 5 stone. From his dental examination, Dalich found that the destruction of Catherine's mouth went right through the body of the lower jawbones. These fractures had led to displacement of the fragments, which was why Catherine kept having to pick out pieces of her jawbone from her mouth. There was also, Dalich noted, considerable discharge of pus and foul odour. Loeffler, meanwhile, ran tests on her blood, finding an alarming loss of blood powers. He discovered that she had a white blood cell count of only a few hundred, whereas normal levels are about 8,000. She is, he thought to himself, near death from exhaustion caused by the lack of these cells. Yet it was her X-rays that troubled the doctors most. The hard tumour on her hip bone, which had been so concerning Catherine over the past few months, was now about the size of a grapefruit. The doctors didn't share their findings with the Donoghues. Catherine was a sick woman. She needed to get home to bed. Just as Irene Laporte's doctor had felt, the physicians did not believe it was right to share their prognosis with Catherine for fear of accelerating her decline. Far better that she stayed hopeful and positive. That, the doctors believed, would help her fight this disease far more than knowing the facts. Catherine and Tom made the difficult journey back to East Superior Street. Tom carried his wife into the front room and laid her gently down on the bed. She needed to rest, but in 5 days' time, she would have her day in court. Catherine Wolfe Donoghue was holding Radium Dial to account for what it had done to her and her friends, and she was determined, no matter what, to make a difference. Chapter 50. Thursday, 10th of February 1938, dawned as a cool and cloudy day. In the front room of East Superior Street, Tom Donoghue helped his wife to dress. He helped her slide on her knee-high nude stockings, lace her flat black shoes. Catherine had picked out her best outfit. Once again, the black dress with white polka dots slipped over her head, and she slowly fastened its black belt around her emaciated waist. The dress hung so much more loosely than it had done in July, when she'd first met Grossman, but she wasn't going to think about that today. As a final addition, around her left wrist she looped a silver-banded watch that Tom had given her before their marriage. It was not luminous. With her spectacles on, a black hat pulled onto her head, and a dark fur coat wrapped around her shoulders, she was ready. Her husband, too, took care with his clothes. Tom usually wore the garments of a labourer, dungarees and rough workwear. Today, he donned a dark three-piece suit with a sober striped tie. His thick hair and moustache were neatly combed, and he also wore glasses. Having added a light-coloured trilby, he was set to carry Catherine to court. But he could not do it alone. Clarence Witt, the husband of Olive, helped him. Catherine was seated on a blonde wood chair as they lifted her. Her skin bruised so easily and her bones were now so fragile that it was difficult for Tom to carry her in his arms next to his chest. The chair was the safer choice.